From the KTO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz-Pena with a local and statewide news update. A federal judge issued an injunction that prevents Alaska Native corporations from receiving part of a tribal funding set aside in the CARES Act. The decision came today as tribal nations appeal a ruling in late June that said Native corporations were eligible to receive the funding. U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta had ruled against several tribes in the lower 48 in Alaska. They sued the Department of Treasury and Interior over the eligibility of Alaska Native corporations to receive a portion of about $8 billion. The decision hinged on whether Alaska Native corporations could be considered tribal governments in relation to the funding. Though he wrestled with this decision, Mehta ultimately ruled that they could. The injunction Tuesday paves the way for tribes to pursue an appeal in the case, but it only gives them until July 14th to do so. After that, the injunction expires July 15th. The Juneau School District heard from families in a public forum yesterday about the plan for returning students to face-to-face classes. Superintendent Bridget Weiss gave a presentation about the district's Smart Start plan and the challenges the district faced in the spring semester when schools shut down.
None of us will probably ever forget what March was like last spring and what happened in really, truly the blink of an eye.
While the district touts itself as being one of a few in the country that has a public plan for returning to school, Weiss says it's still a work in progress. And with 7 weeks until Juneau schools are scheduled to reopen, some parents are wary about requiring face masks in schools. Bria Merig thinks it's a good idea.
It's pretty hard to prevent any spread of illness in schools, especially in preschools. And I feel like masks are one thing that we can do. I know because I know kids and we all know kids that if you make it optional, that means it's not happening.
Screening for COVID-19 was another concern, with some parents asking if both parents and students will be screened. Weiss says the district is still consulting with healthcare professionals on those decisions.
It's one of those interesting dances that we're doing with the medical profession that we don't normally do. So uncharted territory.
And on top of health and safety concerns, the district is also navigating how to measure academics with part-time face-to-face learning. Weiss says the next district meeting for public comment on the reopening plan will be likely in early August. And it's been a month since Governor Mike Dunleavy created an option for out-of-state travelers to skip a 14-day quarantine by coming with proof of a recent negative COVID-19 test result. 10 of the state's airports have screening lines so passengers can show test results or talk through options before leaving the airport. But some travelers have seen screening lines being bypassed en masse or unstaffed. Is this process working? KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Juneau Assemblymember Carol Treem flew into Anchorage recently. She started in Juneau and hopped aboard a flight that originated in Seattle. On board, she says the flight crew made an announcement about filling out a travel declaration. She got off the plane in Anchorage.
And by the time I got to where you leave the secured area and walk out to the baggage claim, I walked by a number of tables that looked like they must have been set up to do testing, but there was nobody there. I didn't see a single person. Nobody asked me where I had been or if I had test results or if I'd been out of state. I just left the airport.
She says most people leaving with her just walked right out.
There's potential for a lot of people to come who might have COVID, right? Because they're coming from out of state. And I assumed that in Anchorage, there would be people paying attention and trying to track people and trying to get people tested and see if they're coming from out of state. And I thought they would be trying to enforce those things. And it's a little scary that there's this potential place for an unknown number of positive people to enter the state and we would have no idea.
Tessa Walker-Linderman is a nurse consultant with the State Division of Public Health. But for the COVID-19 response, she's the Port of Entry Coordinator. And she has an explanation for what Treem experienced in Anchorage. Walker-Linderman says flight volumes are way down in Anchorage, so it's easy for screeners to be flexible. Passengers off direct, out-of-state flights get funneled into screening, but for in-state flights, the screeners can stand down. Treem was on the so-called milk run that begins in Seattle and makes stops on the way to Anchorage. Walker-Linderman says, according to Alaska Airlines, there are practically zero passengers flying from Seattle to Anchorage that way. The airline tells her they aren't even offering Seattle to Anchorage tickets on the Milk Run. Walker Linderman says that likely explains why Treem and other travelers sometimes aren't seeing screeners or passengers being sorted. There simply may be no screening or sorting to do when they happen to have landed.
I know the intent is that there is somebody there that's trying to identify who's in state and who's out of state. Are we standing there asking to look at everyone's ticket? We're not. We're not. We are trusting that people are being honest about where they started their travel, and we are not chasing people down and making people comply.
Walker Linderman says she's in regular contact with the airport screeners around the state and is sharing feedback with them about travelers' experiences, including these anecdotes. At Juneau International Airport, Capital City Fire Rescue is handling screening. It's a Friday afternoon, and a pair of 737s have just landed, one from Anchorage and one from Seattle. Assistant Chief Travis Mead watches how his screening team handles the mix of out-of-state and in-state passengers. If you haven't been out-of-state, you're just supposed to leave, like in normal, non-pandemic times. Out-of-state travelers are supposed to go into a line for paperwork and screening. The screeners individually collect forms and check COVID-19 test documents. They talk to each traveler individually about their options and obligations for quarantining and testing. A big wave of people leaves, with almost no one going into the screening line.
So hopefully that was the Anchorage flight and not the Seattle flight, right? Because yeah, almost no one, maybe no one came
through. Those are all Alaska residents here. And so, and that's what she's doing down there. She's asking them. So as long as they're in state, they're going that way. I think we had one lady come through before.
After a few minutes, the wave passes, then a screener cordons off the exit for in-state travelers. Almost everyone coming through the next wave, presumably off the Seattle flight, goes into the screening line.
I think this is going to be the busy flight. It's going to be the 90 passenger flight.
Downstairs, passengers wait in line for testing or on the curb for rides. At this point, it's mostly people who came from Seattle that are still around. Bridget Braley is returning home to Juneau. How was the screening process?
It was really quick and efficient, I thought. We got up and they gave us the paperwork to fill out on the airplane, so we got off and then I ended up getting a test at the airport, and I hadn't been tested before, so I'm gonna go home and quarantine, but it was really streamlined. And I don't know if I got off in early, but I got out way quicker than I expected, so I'm waiting for my ride.
Al Melanson is visiting from California, bound for a lodge in Pelican.
They're doing a good job upstairs. They're awful helpful. So I'm in line to get another COVID-19 test. No, I'm a little nervous, that's all, because I'm anxious to catch this plane.
Yeah. What are you fishing for?
Anything I can get.
State health officials are tracking a new wave of people with active COVID-19 infections. The flat curve Alaska had for most of May isn't flat anymore. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
A vast majority of Alaska state troopers are white, making the primary statewide law enforcement agency substantially less diverse than Alaska's population. Alaska Public Media reported about 87% of the state's 355 troopers are white, compared to 65% of Alaska's population. The figures released by Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration show Alaska Natives and Native Americans have the next largest representation among troopers at 5%. While those groups represent about 20% of the overall population, the agency says it plans to devote extra time to targeting applicants from diverse groups through advertising and recruiting within the nation's military branches. And the National Weather Service says smoke from wildfires in Siberia have carried to South Central Alaska and the Aleutian Islands. The Anchorage Daily News reported Sunday that strong winds pushed the smoky air into the region from fires burning across more than 5,300 square miles of the northern Russia region. The wildfire smoke has also been reported in western Oregon and Canada. And a wildlife official says a bird symbolizing America's freedom had to be liberated on Independence Day after becoming stuck in a tree in Alaska. The Juneau Empire reported an adult female bald eagle was hurt but conscious after being untangled from a spruce tree in Juneau. Kathy Benner of the Juno Raptor Center says the bird was stuck in the tree in Ernest Gröning State Historical Park after a wire tethered its wing to a tree branch. The bird was taken to the Alaska Raptor Center in Sitka, which was expected to determine whether the eagle suffered a broken bone. This is KTOO News.